These are strong encouragements for you. Maybe it'll be a passage that you'll be sharing with others that you know. And for those who come online to listen to the messages. In Isaiah 41, verse 10. Isaiah 41, verse 10. Our Heavenly Father, he says through Isaiah, fear not. Fear not. Because there's a whole lot of fear right now going on in America. And unfortunately, we see it strongly in the church as well. Fear not, for I am with you. There's a promise, something for us as the children of the Most High God to hold on to. He just said here, I am with you. Say that with me. I am with you. Now say, God is with me. God is with me. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed. He's telling us not to be alarmed or agitated. There's no reason to be alarmed or agitated because we're not the fear. He is with us. He's our Heavenly Father. He loves and, as the Good Shepherd, protects us. He goes on and says, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. A promise. I will strengthen you. I will help you. How about that? I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. What a beautiful set of promises we have from our Heavenly Father. So pass these along to others that you may know that are fearful and really having this fear grab their hearts. Now, if they're not a believer, then this isn't for them, I'm sorry to say. But it's to tell the non-believer, this is what I have, and you can have too, through all the rest of your temporal life. Well, the world changed in the last 72 hours. At least that's what we're being told. Really changed. Our president on Friday went on the television and he told all of us the nation's in a state of emergency. Yesterday, he told us that today is a day of prayer, national prayer. And I trust that you will take him up on this. This is a privilege that has been given to the children of God. And I hope you're wearing it out, if you could do such a thing. The NBA has canceled all their events. Oh, poor baby. Wall Street has been falling. Now, that bothers me. I got this little 401k, if you will. It's a 403b. And there wasn't much in there to begin with. Wall Street has been falling. Traveling. Man, has that been impacted. For the next 60 days, you can't take a cruise. You know, I'm going to fly over there. I'm not going to waste my time on a ship going. But the airlines, you know, they've cut their schedules in half. And they're flying these planes a third to a half full. All kinds of things are being shut down. Many things are being planned to be canceled. What I find interesting in my 7 decades on this planet is that I've lived through the Hong Kong flu. I've lived through the swine flu. I have lived through the SARS. I've lived through these Ebola things we were all being told about. We've lived through the HIV/AIDS. Which is still with us, as well as all these other flus that are running around. The CDC, this morning as I went online, was reporting that 80,000 Americans died last year due to flu. Last year, just the regular flu. How are we to respond in the midst of these times? How are we to look at this present time we find ourselves in? Are we to be afraid because we don't know that what tomorrow's going to bring? I like what you just said. So when I got up Saturday morning, I sensed, as I said, the Holy Spirit wanting me to put off this 2-week series that I had planned and was just running amok in my mind and having me run through the scriptures to be an encourager. I wrote you a letter Friday night. We sent it out Saturday morning. If you didn't receive it, it'll be because, one, we don't have your email address, or we don't have a corrected one. If you want to do something about that, please call the office. How are we as Christians supposed to live in a pandemic? With being threatened with death and danger, the loss of our jobs, all of this massive uncertainty, how are we to live as Christians in this present season? How are we to think about this? How are we to feel about this? What is our response to be? And what actions are we to take? First and foremost, I would remind you that this virus is not an accident. Some of you have been hearing these theories and so forth. Listen, bottom line, our Heavenly Father wasn't taken by surprise. He knew about this. He knew about this from the beginning. He's all-knowing. And our Abba Father, he's still in control. This virus finds its place in his plan for you and me and this world. He has a plan. We live in a fallen world, and there have been plagues, and we have a plague, and we will have plagues in the future. This is nothing new. Nothing new whatsoever. Worldwide crisis. These are not new. I don't know how many hundreds or thousands of crises the world has had to face, or will be facing, because we know that there is going to be some major crisis when the Lord is thinking about ending all this. This is not new. And Abba Father either allows these things to happen, or he has caused it to happen for his plan. The coronavirus, as it stands as of right now, has a death rate of 2-4% of the people who come in contact with it and actually contract it. 2-4%. And that seems to be what the news media is majoring on putting out there for us. What that really means, though, is that you have a 96-98% survival rate. Now, for those who are my brothers and sisters in my age category, ours isn't quite as bright. Presently, we are approaching almost, but not quite, 10% death rate for those who are our ages, but also have a compromised medical condition. So the bad news is, family, we only have a 90% chance of surviving. Family, all of Abba's acts are done in loving kindness. We don't always see this because of our fear of death and how long we're guessing this crisis is going to have to last. Since Abba is in control, we need to be thinking clearly about our own hearts and our own lives, and not to enter into what we see our friends, neighbors doing, such as the runs on our local Walmarts and Costcos and local markets. And as I watched one woman who was being videotaped on somebody's phone on the news, she just stuck out her arm and took with her hand and her forearm and went down this whole sill of stuff and just did this and wiped it all into her basket. Not giving a hoot about the people behind her who wanted some. We're not to be like that. We're not to be all that concerned about this water. I mean, do we not have tap water? Toilet paper. I saw this cute little thing about, you know, the Charmin bears? You got mama and papa bear telling the baby bears, you know, at the top of the thing, it's telling them, hey, you know, no, protect your toilet tissue. And at the bottom it says, yeah, all those human beings have gone nuts over toilet paper. The world's in a panic. People are scared. As I think of Jesus and the coronavirus, think with me about this. Write this down. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14, verses 22 through 33. Open your hearts and your ears as I relay this message from him to us. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat, by this time, was a long way from the land, beaten by waves, for the wind was against them. If you read this story in Mark, you'll find it's a storm. And in the fourth watch of the night, that's somewhere between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. in the morning. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea. Bear in mind, this is a miracle, right? The Son of God is walking on the sea. The Son of God did a miracle. The Son of God still does miracles today. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It's a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately, the Lord understanding this, but immediately Jesus spoke to them saying, "Take heart, it is I." And I believe he's saying to the church today, "Take heart, it's me. I'm here. I'm your strength. I'm your God, and I will not leave you. Take heart, it is I. And don't be afraid." And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, come. So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. Another miracle. Another miracle by our saving Lord. But when he saw the wind, when Peter saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. He took his focus off the Lord. Jesus didn't wait for him to go down, you know, to his chin or just below his nose in the water. It tells us Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? And he could very well be saying that to any one of us this morning. Why is your faith so little? Why are you doubting me? And when they got into the boat, that is the Lord and Peter, the wind ceased. In Mark, we're told that Jesus hushes the wind. The sea is in turmoil, and now it's calm. I think we should get the point that our Lord Jesus does miracles, folks. And those in the boat worshiped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. These professional fishermen were afraid. They feared for their very lives, as people today are fearing. But they saw in Jesus, in what he spoke, they saw the power of the Word of God. And far too many in the American church, and maybe some of us here, we don't spend enough time with the Lord to hear what he has to say to us so that we know in times like this that we're facing that he is there, and he is there to protect us, and he is going to be with us in the midst of it. He isn't going to go up on some mountain somewhere and go, I'll be right back when the virus is gone. Jesus told them, and he tells us now, Psalm 94:14. Write that down. These are all encouragements, family. Psalm 94:14. For the Lord will not forsake his people. He will not abandon his heritage. Now there's a promise. Just like we saw in Isaiah 41:10. He's promising you not to forsake you. He will not abandon his heritage. Matthew 28:20, would you write that down? Matthew 28:20. And Jesus says, and behold, I am with you. I'm with you. I'm not sending someone else. I am with you even to the end of the age, even to the end of all of eternity. If you're my brother, my sister, Abba's saying, if you're my son or my daughter, I am with you. I am with you always. The writer to the Hebrew under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit tells us in chapter 13, verse 5, Hebrew 13, verse 5. And he has said, Jesus, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Not even with coronavirus. We're entering into a new season. Are we going to focus on the problem? Or are we going to focus on our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Remember, where your focus goes, your what? Your energy flows. That's ever so true. You know, I found I could be just as happy as ever. And I turn on the news, And within 10 minutes, I'm mad. You have to watch what you're watching, where you're spending your time. Remember where your focus goes, your energy flows. Remember that acrostic I gave you to the word hope. H, family, we have every reason to hope. O, we have every reason to be people who are optimistic at this time. P, we have every reason to be positive as we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. At least 2% of us, maybe 4% of us, or in my case, 10% of us. And E, always be encouraged. The Lord has given us some promises. We should hold on to those promises. Be encouraged with them. That's why he asked me to give them to you this morning. Is our focus going to be on panic or is it going to be on calm? Or will our focus go on the grace that our Heavenly Father loves to pour out on his kids? Remember Peter, when he got out on the water, his focus was on Jesus. All was well. He put his focus then on the waves and the wind, and he began to sink. Here's my challenge as a believer. Who is going to live as a believer, as one who really trusts in the Lord Jesus and his promises, and refuses, and of course, this would be a choice on your part, refuses to live under fear and looks to our Lord and his promises? How do we look at him? I would encourage you to, we see so much of him and the way he acts and speaks in the Gospels. So I would encourage you to be reading in the Word of God. Likewise, to spend that important time with him in communication, getting to know him better, and let him speak to you back through the Word of God. And then look to brothers and sisters that are more mature in the faith. See how they're doing. Open yourself to them. Pray together about this situation and declare these promises. They're yours. Appropriate them. Joshua was ready to go into the promised land, and he was uncertain. He knew that going into the promised land had certain challenges. There's all these cities, some of them, like Jericho, have these mammoth high walls. So where you have all these cities, you're going to have a standing army. So it meant for Joshua and for the people, God's people going into the promised land, that there was going to be death. But there was also going to be new life. And an angel of the Lord, the pre-incarnate Jesus, came to Joshua and wanted to encourage him. The angel told Joshua this in Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. I hope you're writing it down. He said, be strong and courageous. We are told the same thing by the Holy Spirit in the New Testament. We're to be strong. We're to be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. We can do all things through him who strengthens us. Promises, more promises. The angel says, be strong and courageous. He's saying, GHCC, be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. And do not be dismayed. Don't be alarmed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Wherever you go. I want you to know that our wonderful, wonderful Savior is going to be with us wherever we go. He is telling us that we are not victims here. We are victors. And we need to remember that. But it comes from the breath of our Heavenly Father. It comes from the breath of God Himself. In Romans chapter 8, verses 35 through 39. Romans 8, 35 through 39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ, he asks. Shall tribulation? The grammar is in such a way that it evokes the answer, no. Or distress? No. Or persecution or famine or nakedness? No, no, no. Or sword? No. Or virus? That's not in there. But no. As it is written, for your sake, we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. If you're there in your Bible, you should underline that. Circle it. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us, Jesus. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor death, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. We are not people who need to react and panic. We are not going to be the people that the world is going to squeeze into its mold. We're going to be those people who are going to be being conformed to the image of our Savior. We will be change agents in this country, and we will be proactive, as you have seen in that letter, and as Chris pointed out to you, all the things that we can do to protect where we need to be protected. We can be calm, and our hearts can be at rest. We're not going to be reckless. We're going to be wise. We will take precautions. We may yet cancel some events. We don't know what the future holds, but we do know Him who holds our future. But here's what we know. Our Heavenly Father is the one who is in control. He is sovereign and has allowed this to happen at this particular time for His own purposes. And He's going to use it for our good. Look at Romans 8, 28 through 30. Romans 8, 28 through 30. And we know that for those who agape God, those who seek God's best and highest good at their expense, all things work together for good for those who are called according to His purpose. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, in order that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom He predestined, He also called. And those whom He called, He also justified. Declared not guilty of their sins. And those whom He justified, He also glorified. We've already been glorified. Abba will use this for good if our hearts are at peace. We can respond way differently than our neighbors that don't know the Lord, or our brothers and sisters who are unfamiliar with their scriptures. So when fear begins to grip your heart, ask yourself, where is my focus? Is my focus on the Lord Jesus and my energy is flowing there? Or is my focus on the world, the virus, and all my energy is going there? I'm not saying don't stay informed. What I want you to do, though, is to continuously turn to Joshua chapter 1 and verse 9. I want you to continue going back there time and time and read it over and over. You'll probably memorize it if you do what I believe the Holy Spirit is asking me to ask us to do. Go and read it over and over and over. And now I'm talking about Romans chapter 8, verses 28 through 30, verses 35 through 39. I want you to read them out loud to yourself so that when you read it out loud, you hear yourself being told by God from His word, breathed out, inspired by Him, you hear it in your ears. And hopefully it'll be grasped by your heart. Then I would encourage you, I like to pray the scriptures back to Him. And that you'd take this set of scriptures and do just that. Along with this passage I'm going to point out to you. 2 Chronicles 7, chapter 7, verse 14. Our Heavenly Father says here, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves, come before Him humbly, in meekness, compassionately. If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and communicate with me, pray, come and talk to me, and seek my face. In other words, pursue that gnosko that we've been talking about in the book of Acts. That personal, intimate experience. If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, turn from things that we know are displeasing to Him, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal the land. And if the church in America today were reading this passage aloud one to another, then guess what? If you and I were to seek Him and seek His face in intimacy and humble ourselves and confess and repent of our sins, He just might eradicate this silly virus today. You know, we have prayed for years. I know the staff and I have prayed for years that we would see a wonderful revival across the nation. People turning to Jesus by the multitudes. This might be something that's part of God's plan. But I don't see a bunch of people here today filling up the seats of those who couldn't be here. Maybe we still have to pray for that revival. I will. Sometimes Abba Father allows devastating things to take place in order to draw us closer to Himself. Let's not live under fear, though, family. Let's simply look to our Lord Jesus and His promises. Let's keep asking Him, use me like you've never used me before during this particular season in our country for your glory. and for whatever else you might get from it. My second question is, where is my future? We're human, and many of us are going to feel afraid. Some of the people we love are going to be exposed to the coronavirus, and we might even see a family member, a friend, die because of it. Jesus said to his disciples on the night before he was to die on the cross, in John 14:1, let not your hearts be troubled. This is from someone who knows what he is about to face. Let not your hearts be troubled, family. Don't let this disease that has come, don't let your hearts be troubled. He says, believe in God. Believe also in me. And remember all the promises he's already made to you this morning. What he knew is where there is uncertainty in the future, we need to have absolute certainty that Jesus is preparing a place for us. It's about our salvation. We have been sealed by the Holy Spirit. That is, we have been guaranteed this great salvation provided for us through our Lord Jesus Christ and his work on that cross. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. And that should give us, during these times that we are presently in, some boldness. Family, are any of you afraid? And if you are, please hear me. Now is the time to pursue gnosko as never before, that direct personal experience with Jesus. Get together with him in prayer. Read his word aloud. And then listen attentively to what he tells you. And then go do it. I would encourage you to go and gather with friends. I would encourage you to gather, pull your family together for something. This is a special time. Come together. Talk about your relationship to Jesus with one another. For the first time, open up with one another and give your personal, intimate testimony of your life in Jesus with one another. This will be a blessing to those that are listening. Share your personal testimonies and play some games. But don't play, well, I'll leave the names out. I play games with some people and they are far too. Ooh. They have to win everything. Family, whatever goes into your ears and your mind is going to come out, believe it or not, in your emotions. Limit the time listening to the news. I'm saying this with a little louder voice to wake up anyone who's napping. Spend little time in social media. Our Heavenly Father is and will continue to take care of you and me. He will take care of us. He wants to use you, and he wants to use me, and he wants to do great things in you, through you, and for him in the coming days during the season we find ourselves in. Get it?
Amen.
Good. Let's pray. Abba, thank you so very much for the clear understanding of the promises that you have made to our church family this morning. And they are but the tip of an iceberg, so to speak, because your book is filled with promises for your children. There's also promises concerning the unchurched as well. You have thought all this through from before the beginning began. So, Father, I pray that you will speak strongly and with that wonderful warm love that you have into the hearts of all your children who find themselves truly being bothered at this time, frightened, that they hear your words, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God." And we know you to be not just our God, but our God and Father, our Redeemer, our friend. You are our provider, our peace. You are our helper. You are the one that comes and heals us. And you've made it clear that you will strengthen us. You said, "I will help you. I will hold every single one of you with my righteous right hand." We thank you so much for the depth of your love that never ends for us, your children. Amen.